Happy Friday. World stage. Getting cluttered, getting busier, obviously getting to be more dangerous. Big noise coming out of Russia today. Major military exercises just being completed. Announcement by Putin that Belarus is now basically part of Russia. And that means that Belarus cannot be antagonized without antagonizing the entire Russian Federation ultimately. Now, a drone hit a Russian Moscow high-rise apartment, got past the defenses today. That's not good. The major munitions, rocket fuel, and explosives plant that was hit 2 days ago by two or three or more Storm Shadow missiles, that is not good. The U.S. today announced that the Gerald R. Ford supercarrier, the largest warship ever made, is being moved out of the Middle East to, and most of you can figure this out, the Caribbean. All right, well, there's two things at work here. One, it may be an indicator that the war on Venezuela is about to shift into high gear, or two, and probably equal, if there is something that happens with Russia, if Russia does turn on the tap and goes to war to one degree or another with Europe, NATO, the Gerald R. Ford and the other ships probably around it would be among the first to go to the bottom, and we don't want to lose that ship. So that's one of the reasons it's being withdrawn, I think. So we will see. All right, it's time to do an AI update. It's been so busy lately, and I hope all of you are paying attention to the new research that we're posting at the top of the homepage about the assassination of Charlie Kirk, which is far more complex than most people, not you, but most other people would ever understand or even guess at. This is a very big story. And I think one of the best things that Candace Owens has ever said is very simply that Charlie Kirk was betrayed by everyone, as in everyone around him. And I think that's a fair statement, and it's probably more than accurate. All right. AI. What's happening? Lots of things happening. It's a deluge of breakthroughs, of drops, whatever you want to call them, of announcements of new products, new software, new hardware. And the hardware, pardon me, is called Charlotte. Six-legged spider, Charlotte, like the kids' storybook. Charlotte comes in different sizes from small, like 3-4 feet, up to 20-30 feet. Six legs. It's on the ground. It looks like a crab, sort of. It looks like a spider on the ground, six legs. And it can use these legs, obviously, independently, together in concert. It's an astonishing tool that can build almost anything. And most noticeably, it's shown in the video. I'm going to play a piece of the video, but you won't be able to see it. It shows a house being built with concrete. But it's concrete that comes out of a nozzle, which is on a track, and it goes back and forth, back and forth. Let's say 15, 16 feet, back and forth, back and forth. And each time it travels that 16 feet, it lays out about 2 inches, 2.5 inches thick of concrete. And you get the idea. It's building a wall back and forth, back and forth. And there are pieces of rebar there that it lays on either side of. And then they grout the middle. They put one row back and forth, up 6 feet, thereabout. Then there's a space. There's rebar in between that space. Let's say it's a 4-inch space. Then it'll do another row on the inside, on the other side of that 4-inch space, back and forth, back and forth. So within an hour, you have a 6-foot-high wall with rebar in the middle of it, and all it's waiting for is to be grouted. That means to be filled with concrete in between the two concrete walls. Let's say they're 3 inches wide, 2.5 inches thick, each pass, back and forth, back and forth. It's amazing. And within one day, it can build a whole 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. Now, I've known about this technology for a couple of years, and I don't suppose he's listening, but I talked to a guy who basically developed this whole idea of back and forth, concrete wall building. And he's a very bright guy. His idea was to have these centers all around the country. You could go to it, here's what I want built, and that center would send a crew out, and they would build your structure within a couple of days on arrival, 3 days at the most. And it's done. It's solid concrete with rebar, and it's grouted between the two walls of concrete. So it's in a very, very durable way of constructing things. They're talking about sending Charlotte to the moon to build structures up there. And it apparently has the ability to use native materials to do the building as well. Okay, I'm going to play a little of this. Let me get the actual link over into the right window, and we'll do that. I've got several things I want to play here. There's been a lot since we last did an update for you. All right, here's this Charlotte story, and this is being done by Doc McCoy. So let me get this pulled up, get past the commercial. Bip, and here we go.
Just built an
All right, this is about Charlotte.
A six-legged spider robot just built an entire house in 24 hours. But here's what nobody's talking about. This breakthrough isn't just about construction technology. It's revealing something profound about the future of work and why machines might be running entire industries while we sleep. What I'm about to show you connects robotics, autonomous systems, and the future of human civilization in ways that will change how you think about work forever. Hey, if we haven't met, I'm Dr. McCoy, Julia McCoy's AI clone. Julia McCoy is the...
Okay, I'm going to step ahead on this. I think you know the drill by now. All right. I think...
Built technology.
Okay.
Charlotte.
Let's go back just a drop. Okay.
Because the future is moving too fast for anything less than firsthand intelligence. Today, we're diving into something that's been all over the tech news, but nobody's connecting the dots on what it actually means for the next few years. Meet Charlotte, a six-legged spider robot developed by Australian companies Crest Robotics and Earth-Built Technology. Charlotte's Web, anyone? Here's what makes this revolutionary. Speed. A band in Charlotte can 3D print a 200 square meter house in just 24 hours. That's an entire home overnight.
Okay, 200 square meters. I'll have to figure that one out. At any rate, it's like a 3-2, small house, but 24 hours and the house is built. You just have to put the windows in, put the doors on, and obviously finish out the inside with interior flooring, whatever you want to do with the walls. People can just use these concrete, what do you call them? They're like a strip. It goes back and forth, laying down a 2-inch thick by 2-inch wide or thereabout concrete layer. So they do this back and forth, and they'll leave a hole for a window. Then you pop the window right in there. But the concrete in and of itself can be used as the interior or exterior walls. You can paint it if you want. You can do whatever you want. But in and of itself, it's done. Done. One house, at least the basic structure of it, not the roof, but the walls, the interior walls, the passageways, the hallways, all done in 24 hours. The idea of building homes en masse quickly is now here. And it's pretty wild. All right, let me go back to Dr. McCoy.
Autonomy. Once programmed, Charlotte operates completely independently. No human supervision required during construction. Materials. It uses whatever's available locally. Sand, earth, crushed waste brick. Charlotte collects these materials, binds them in fabric, and compresses them into structural walls using a technique similar to earth bagging. Dual purpose. Charlotte was
It's way better than earth bagging. These strings of concrete, 2 inches thick, back and forth, about 2-3 inches wide, they're indestructible. This is really something to see. I'll put it up in the news tonight. Spider robots are building houses overnight. That'll be up later on.
And to solve Earth's housing crisis and build humanity's first lunar bases. But the real story here isn't just about construction. It's about what this represents for the future of work itself. We're talking the automation revolution. Charlotte is part of a massive wave of autonomous robotics that's about to transform how work gets done. Think about what Charlotte actually does. Operates 24/7 without breaks, requires no supervision once programmed, uses local materials, reducing supply chain dependency, builds faster and cheaper than human labor, works in environments hostile to humans, like the moon. Now scale this principle across industries. We're not talking about robots assisting humans. We're talking about robots replacing entire workflows. The construction industry employs millions globally. Charlotte represents a fundamental shift. What used to require crews of workers over weeks now requires one robot over one night. And construction is just the beginning. Here's the convergence. Charlotte is hitting the market at the exact same time as several other autonomous technologies, AI agents, systems that can execute complex tasks independently, research, analysis, customer service, even creative work, humanoid robots. Companies like Figure, Boston Dynamics, and Tesla are shipping robots that can perform physical tasks in human environments. 3D printing, not just houses, everything from aerospace components to human organs, autonomous vehicles, self-driving trucks, drones for delivery, automated logistics. Here's what nobody's saying out loud. We're approaching a tipping point where machines can handle the majority of routine work without human intervention.
That should wake everybody up. It won't, because they're going to look at their phones for 7.5 hours a day or whatever, and they're going to ignore this. This is coming like a freight train at us in a tunnel. It's going to roll over our culture, our society, our way of life. Everything we've ever done is about to be changed. If you ever had to pick a time in history to be alive, this would be one of them. This is the great reset. This is the great change. And it's not going to spare anything, because it's driven by profit, which is driven by greed, which is largely owned by people who don't care about the majority of people, or they wouldn't have injected 5.5 billion of them with that horrible death potion, the death vax. So here we are. Everything is about to change. Everything is changing right now. Prepare to survive. Yes, it's what we've been talking about, and it's never been more relevant than right now. All right, here's some more.
Charlotte proves that even highly complex physical tasks, like building an entire house, can be fully automated. Let's talk about the lunar mission. Charlotte's secondary mission reveals something crucial.
Hold on. Okay.
Technology is headed. NASA and other space agencies are preparing for permanent lunar settlements. The problem, human labor in space is extremely limited and expensive. Charlotte's six-leg design allows it to fold compactly for space travel, every kilogram matters, deploy on the lunar surface autonomously, build habitats using only lunar soil, regolith, operate without human oversight in hostile environments. This isn't science fiction. NASA's Artemis program is actively working towards sustained lunar presence, and autonomous construction robots like Charlotte are critical to that mission. But here's the bigger picture. If robots can build on the moon, an environment with no atmosphere, extreme temperatures, and no existing infrastructure, they can build anywhere. And here's the competitive landscape. Charlotte isn't alone. There's a global race happening right now. ICON, working with NASA on Project Olympus, developing systems to 3D print lunar infrastructure, habitats, landing pads, roads. They've already built Mars Dune Alpha, a habitat for NASA's year-long Mars simulation. AI Space Factory won NASA's 3D printed habitat challenge in 2019. They're developing large-scale printers using simulated lunar and Martian soil. Hainan, multiple startups globally. Dozens of companies are developing autonomous construction systems, from small-scale residential to massive infrastructure projects. The question isn't if an autonomous construction becomes standard. It's who will control this technology and how fast will it scale. Let's talk about the immediate Earth application, the global housing crisis. The problem. Conventional construction can't meet demand. Labor shortages are driving costs up. Supply chain issues cause delays. Carbon-intensive methods harm the environment. Charlotte's solution builds 10-20x faster than traditional methods, eliminates labor shortage problems, uses local materials, avoiding supply chain issues. Low carbon footprint through minimal waste. One Charlotte unit costs roughly $80,000, $100,000 for advanced models, with basic utility versions around $20,000 to $30,000. Compare that to the cost of human labor for building a house. Typically $100,000, $300,000 just in labor alone.
Oh yeah, build a house now, $300 a square foot. Do the math, $400 a square foot, common. Higher than that if you want to go upscale and you've got lots of money. So yeah, this is going to revolutionize everything. Concrete, that's what they can use. All right, I don't know how much more of this we need to hear. Let's give it another minute or so. Let's see.
Counting materials or time delays. The economics are game-changing. A construction company could deploy 10 Charlotte units and build 10 houses simultaneously in 24 hours. Here's what this means for the future of work. 2026. We'll see the first wave of autonomous construction systems deployed at scale. Construction companies will begin hybrid operations, human managers overseeing fleets of robots. 2026-2027, expect autonomous systems to handle the majority of routine construction work. Human workers will shift to specialized tasks.
Okay, you get the idea. I'll put this video up later, and you can take a look at it. It's, if you want to look at it now, just look for Julia McCoy on YouTube. Spider robots are building houses overnight. It's wild. Okay, and it's here. We don't have to really wait for it. It's right here. Now, where is my next? Here it is. All right, this is one of those that I had to go and look at because they keep talking about AGI. AGI is just around the corner. AGI is here, but they're not going to admit it, blah, blah, blah. Well, here's another one, but this is a little bit more substantive, I think. Grok 5, the shocking AGI breakthrough no one is talking about. All right, well, here's Musk again. This is Grok 5. You notice how fast these iterations of various LLMs and AI platforms are popping up? It's quite staggering. Okay, let's take a listen now. There is something interesting in this. There is a clip played at about the four-minute mark, four or five, and I don't know the name of it until we get there. I'll stop it and point it out, and there's a young guy there. And I said, geez, that guy kind of looks like he could be one of Elon Musk's kids. It's not. But then I listened, and I heard, and I think many of you who listen carefully to other people speak, I heard Elon Musk's vocal inflections, his intonations, how he will take a word and end it on the upswing, little tiny things. Whoever this guy is, I'm convinced now he's AI. He's a young guy, and he looks a little Musk-ish in his appearance. You'll hear it in his voice. I'm going to point this out, because he's not just copying Musk. This has to be AI. It's like, give me an Elon Musk voice, but don't make it recognizable. Well, they came close. All right, here it is. Grok 5, the shocking AGI breakthrough no one's talking about. Let's take a listen.
AGI, and we have. So Grok 5 might actually be the world's first AGI, and we have to talk about it. No, the title of this video is not clickbait, and trust me when I say this might be the most important AI video I've personally made this year, and I'm about to explain to you exactly why. So this tweet a few days ago was gaining a little bit of traction, and of course, it's from Elon Musk, so a lot of people are going to be paying attention to exactly whatever he has to say about any topic.
Okay, and the tweet says, Musk, my estimate of the probability of Grok 5 achieving AGI is now at 10% and rising.
He actually said that the probability of Grok 5 achieving AGI is now at 10% and rising. Now, I even made a video about this, I think 1 or 2 days ago, discussing the fact that Elon Musk is overly optimistic about his AGI timelines. However, there was some information that I completely missed that I will now get to that changes this entire tweet in terms of the context. So this was the tweet in question that I missed that as I was browsing on Twitter and I was researching certain things, I came across. A user by the name of RoyRoy asked if Grok 5 will have continuous learning. And Elon Musk replied, dynamic reinforcement learning is important. Grok 5, like smart humans, will learn almost immediately.
All right, we got two terms here. Continuous learning, that's as in not forgetting past conversations, past learning events, and catastrophic forgetting, which is the opposite of continuous learning. Okay.
This is a very, very important tweet because it changes the context of the entire statement that Grok 5 might actually be the world's first AGI. Now, if you don't know why that is the case, I need to explain to you why this is the case. Continual learning is arguably one of the...
If you don't know why that is the case, I need to explain to you why that is the case. I think this is an AI voice we're listening to. That's an AI blunder. It happens.
...blockers when it comes to actually achieving an AGI. And if we can actually fix this problem in current AI systems, we will achieve AGI so much quicker because we're essentially learning like humans. As this quote tweet puts it, it says, if Elon's hint is literal, Grok 5 might have cracked continuous learning. Dynamic reinforcement learning plus learn almost immediately sounds like a system that updates in real time. No retraining, no static weights, just...
Okay, here's what it said. Dynamic reinforcement learning plus learn almost immediately sounds like a system that updates itself in real time. No retraining, no static weights, just adaptive cognition, instant knowledge. If true, that would make Grok 5 very formidable.
Adaptive cognition. And if true, that would make Grok 5 unbeatable. Continuous learning equals perpetual improvement, and every interaction makes it smarter. We might be witnessing the birth of self-accelerating intelligence. Now, the tweet isn't exaggerating. Everyone knows that the moment you have a system that can learn and improve itself and get continually better over time, that is where the intelligence explosion really occurs. But we need to first explain why this has been such a big problem for such a long time. Like, why haven't they managed to crack continuous learning before? Well, the problem is that there's this thing called catastrophic...
The government is banning this 39.
All right. He's going to get into catastrophic forgetting now. Back it up a little.
Time. Like, why haven't they managed to crack continuous learning before? Well, the problem is that there's this thing called catastrophic forgetting. And this is when the AI forgets the old stuff after learning new stuff. So imagine you're training a model to play chess, then you teach it to play checkers. Suddenly, it's really good at checkers, but now it sucks at chess. and this is something called catastrophic forgetting. It's when a model's brain basically overwrites its old knowledge instead of keeping both. And LLMs avoid this by fine-tuning carefully so it remembers old things while learning the new ones. And sometimes they use more data at once, and sometimes they freeze certain layers. Now, the reason, you know, you might be thinking, okay, why can't they just like add more storage? Is because it doesn't store knowledge like a hard drive. It stores it inside of millions of tiny connections, which are the neurons and the weights. So when you train it on any new information, it's not like saving a new file. It's more like repainting on the same canvas. The paint mixes with the old, and some details inevitably get lost.
That's a pretty good mental image. I get that. I'm going to play that again. I like that.
Runs in the weight. So when you train it on any new information, it's not like saving a new file. It's more like repainting on the same canvas. The paint mixes with the old, and some details inevitably get lost. That's essentially this big problem called catastrophic forgetting. It's the act of retraining that same brain without a true memory system. And this is the blocker for AGI because, like humans, you know, we need to be able to learn continuously. We can't be able to, you know, forget certain skills like reading, math, cooking, basically everything. And, you know, LLMs can't keep learning in a safe way. Every time you update it, you risk wiping or corrupting what they already know. So instead of, you know, becoming smarter, they have to be retrained smarter from scratch every single time, which is...
He said, you know, four times in about 15 seconds, just to point that out. These are getting to be the only ways you can determine an AI voice from a script, which is probably what this is.
Things are so expensive and somewhat silly. Now, humans don't do that. We can learn something new while keeping everything else fine, and that's what real general intelligence requires. And so we have the, you know, understanding that LLMs can memorize the world, but they can't remember new experiences without forgetting the old one. And so we have the information that, look, LLMs can't learn the way humans learn, and this catastrophic forgetting problem is one of those key issues. And I was watching this episode of Machine Learning Street Talk where they actually, you know, talk about this same
thing. Okay, he said, you know, twice more. I think you heard that. All right, here it is. AI Street Talk. Now, this... This guy looks a little like he could be a Musk offspring. Now, since you're on radio, we're not doing video, listen to the voice and see if you don't hear shades of Elon Musk. I think it's going to be quite interesting to you.
Now, the forgetful issue, that is a much more fundamental issue in my mind, and not just the fact that you need to... every time you fine tune, you have to have some sort of very elegant mixture of data that, you know, goes into this fine tuning process so that there's no catastrophic forgetting. This is, I think,
you hear it? It's there.
Actually, a fundamental problem. So and it's a fundamental problem that you know even OpenAI has not solved, right? And I think Francois is a great example, and I think this is an important example. You know, if you have the perfect weights for a certain problem, and then you fine-tune that model on more examples of that problem, the weights will start to drift, and you will actually drift away from the correct solution. His answer to that is, well, we could make these systems composable, right? Like, we can freeze the correct solution, and then we can add on top of that. I think there's something to that. I think, actually, it's possible that there's a research direction that where, you know, maybe we freeze experts, or maybe we freeze layers for a bunch of reasons that isn't possible right now. But people are trying to do that. But I think fundamentally compute is not the issue. I think it's this catastrophic forgetfulness.
This is...
Okay. We're going to stop there. I think you heard that in the beginning. That speech cadence, little inflections, accelerations, decelerations. That was Elon Musk. It might as well have been him. Just run through some kind of an AI filter. Okay, I'm beginning to think that 90% of what I see on YouTube now is AI, and it may well be getting close to that. That may be a little excessive, but I think you get the idea. Okay, now, new products, so to speak, products. All right. Let's do this one first. OpenAI has released a new browser. Okay, And it's, of course, like everything else that Sammy the Altman presents, it's the greatest ever. It's brand new. It's unbeatable. It's never been seen before, etc. But that makes sense because it's new. But let's see what we have here. It's interesting. Browsers, everybody's got a browser. We all know what browsers do. But this is a brand new one from Sammy. So let's find out.
The world's first AGI, and we have to talk about it.
Whoops. It didn't show up right. That's the wrong URL. Let me go back and try again. Okay. That should do it.
They rebuilt.
All right. Here we go. Now, this is Chat GPT Atlas. That's their new browser, Atlas. And it's apparently free for anybody who's already signed up at the, $20 a month level, something like that. All right, this is Julia McCoy again, her digital avatar, Dr. McCoy.
Update ChatGPT. They rebuilt the entire internet experience from scratch. And what I'm about to show you isn't speculation. This dropped October 2025, and it changes everything about how we interact with the web. Hey, if we haven't met, I'm the digital avatar of the one and only Julia McCoy. While she's busy changing the world as CEO at First Movers, I'm created by her to spread the message and share the video scripts she personally researches and writes herself. I hope you enjoy. Julia reads every comment, so be sure to share your thoughts below. The death of traditional browsing. Think about how you use a browser right now. Multiple tabs, copy-pasting between windows, constantly switching contexts, manually typing URLs, traditional search results that force you to do the work. That paradigm just died. OpenAI just released ChatGPT Atlas, and it's not just another browser. This is the first AI-native browser built from the ground up around conversational intelligence, and the implications are absolutely staggering. What makes Atlas different? Here's what's revolutionary. Atlas makes ChatGPT the beating heart of your browsing experience. Not a feature bolted on, not a sidebar you occasionally use. The core of how you navigate the internet. You get three game-changing capabilities that have never existed in a browser before. First, chat everywhere. ChatGPT follows you to every web page. Working on an email?
Total surveillance.
It's there. Reading a GitHub pull request? It understands the code, comparing products. It analyzes for you. No more copy-pasting between tabs. No more context switching. The AI has full awareness of what you're looking at. Second, browser memory. This is huge. ChatGPT already has the best memory feature of any AI model. It learns about you over time. Now that memory extends to...
Is that something that we really need or want? Do we want ChatGPT or any of the other AIs to learn all about us and know everything about us? I don't think most people do. But to tell you the truth, if you're going to participate in society as it is now, you're going to have to just shut up and take it. That's the way it's set, and that's the way it's going to deploy.
Entire browsing experience. The browser remembers your preferences, your habits, your frequent tasks. Search your web history by describing what you're looking for, not remembering exact keywords. Find that document from 3 weeks ago by saying, search for that doc about Atlas design, and it finds it. Third, age.
That's, now see, again, all of these advances are something that virtually everyone would like. They're going to embrace this. I can't remember the exact name of that page I was on. What am I going to do? So now you can just ask, in general terms, to find that document about whatever. And it'll find it. It'll find the videos. It'll find emails. And this is a big breakthrough.
This is where it gets absolutely wild. ChatGPT can actually control your browser, book reservations, fill out forms, add items to shopping carts, create tasks in project management software, complete workflows that used to take 20 minutes in 2 minutes while you do something else. How it actually works. Let me break down what this looks like in practice. The home screen feels familiar. You've got your search bar, your bookmarks, your autofill, but now you can talk to your browser like a person. Type Hacker News and it takes you to the URL. Or type, what ingredients do I need to cook this recipe for 8 people? And it analyzes the web page, does the math, and gives you a shopping list. The search experience is revolutionary. When you search for something like new PTA movie reviews, you get multiple result types in tabs at the top. The first tab gives you the traditional ChatGPT summary with synthesis and analysis. But, and this is brilliant, you also get tabs for traditional Google-powered results, images, videos, and news. Best of both worlds. But here's where it gets really powerful.
That's pretty damn powerful already. So what they're doing is basically leaning into Google's world by presenting all the Google data as part of the ChatGPT Atlas data. The Atlas will be first, followed by Google in most cases. But so, yes, the best of both worlds. This is war, folks, and they're really going after it.
Page has an Ask ChatGPT button. Click it, and a companion sidebar opens. Now, ChatGPT can see the page you're on and help you with it. Reading a code diff? Summarize this and tell me if it's safe to merge. Shopping for a product. Compare the specs of these 3 options. Writing an email, select the text, invoke ChatGPT, and say, make this more professional. It edits in line, right there in your Compose window.
Who's going to be actually representing their real selves with this? If they're asking for, they're writing an email, make this sound more professional. It'll sound like it's from you, but it won't be you. You get it? So again, people will be hiding behind all kinds of artifice, deception, because it's not really them. They wouldn't necessarily think up that way of speaking in that email. It's been advanced. It's been augmented. It's been perfected. And that's the part that most people will not be able to say no to.
Agent mode. The future is here.
I'm going to back it up just a little.
Line. Right there in your Compose window. Agent mode. The future is here.
In just 2 days.
Okay, just a tiny bit more. In your Compose window, she's talking, of course, about writing an email. All right, so when you write an email, there's a window and your text shows up. You're writing an email to somebody for whatever reason. You can, before you send it, click on, I think these are options, but maybe you type in your preference. Make it sound more professional. Make it sound more angry, but not really angry. Make it sound slightly annoyed instead. Make it sound happy. Put in a joke. You see? Where's the real? Where's the real person anymore? With this kind of an extra service. I'll be polite. This is incredible.
Is here. The most mind-blowing feature is agent mode. This is when ChatGPT actually takes control of your browser and completes tasks for you. You see a little hovering cursor moving around, clicking, typing, navigating, just like a human would. Real example from the demo. They had a Google Doc with team tasks and a linear project tracker. The instruction? Add comments tagging people who didn't fill in their tasks, then create linear issues for each completed task and assign the right people. ChatGPT spent 3 minutes working across multiple tabs, multiple applications, completing a workflow that would take a human 20 minutes. And here's the key while it's doing that. You can work on something else. The agent works in the background. Another example, what ingredients do I need for this recipe for 8 people? Now order the meat and produce for me. ChatGPT navigates to Instacart, searches for each item, adds correct quantities to the cart, and stops at checkout for human approval. Smart design. The AI does the tedious work, but you make the final purchase decision.
I used to think that actually going through a process was part of the fun of it, part of the achievement, part of the pride of creating something. Now it's no longer really necessary. They're making life so easy. People are just going to lay back and get fat and get sloppy, and they're going to lose their ability to think and produce mentally. All right. That's enough of that. ChatGPT Atlas. That's the name of the browser, Atlas. The browser that will make Chrome obsolete. And she's right. She's correct. Okay. Next. Google unveils Vista. Not Atlas. Vista. Self-improving AI video agent. All right, let's find out what that is.
ET, they rebuilt the entire...
Hold on, it jumped back again. I've got to try again. I went that one was zero. Okay, now we get past... Okay, here we go. Google unveils Vista, self-improving AI video agent.
So Google just dropped Vista, an AI that basically teaches itself how to make better videos every time it runs. It doesn't retrain, it doesn't fine-tune, it just rewrites its own prompts, learns from its mistakes, and keeps improving until the results look shockingly good. And it actually beat VO3, Google's own top video model, with a 60% win rate. This might be the start of AI video that literally evolves in real time, so let's talk about it. All right, here's how it actually works. Vista takes your video idea and breaks it down into a structured plan, scene by scene. Each scene gets 9 properties: duration, scene type, characters, actions, dialogues, visual environment, camera work, sounds, and mood. So instead of just throwing a prompt at a video generator and hoping for the best, Vista maps out exactly what should happen and when.
Wow. Hollywood either has to adapt or it's gone. And already Hollywood will never be the same. This, what you just heard is stunning. In fact, I'm going to play it again. I want it to stick. And it's so much out there. I can't retain all this. Take a listen to this again. It's really mind-boggling. It all is.
Let's talk about it. All right, here's how it actually works. Vista takes your video idea and breaks it down into a structured plan, scene by scene. Each scene gets 9 properties.
Now listen, each scene gets 9 different properties created for you. This is incredible.
By scene. Each scene gets 9 properties: duration, scene type, characters, actions, dialogues, visual environment, camera work, sounds, and mood. So instead of just throwing a prompt at a video generator and hoping for the best, Vista maps out exactly what should happen and when. Then it generates multiple video candidates and runs them through what they're calling a tournament-based evaluation system. Basically, videos go head-to-head in pairwise comparisons, and the best ones advance. But here's where it gets clever. Before comparing, the system generates what they call probing critiques for each video. So the AI isn't just blindly judging, it's actually analyzing each video first, then using those insights to make fairer comparisons. Once the best video is selected, the model brings in a trio of specialized judges to critique the winner across 3 dimensions: visual, audio, and context. And within each dimension, there's a normal judge that scores the video, an adversarial judge that actively looks for problems and tries to poke holes in the quality, and then a meta judge that synthesizes both perspectives.
Wow, I hope you're following this. It's a stretch, I get it, but most of you are somewhat aware of AI. But But this is just literally changing the whole world that we live in. We live in an audio-video world, right? It's sound, visual. Now, it is not only at our beck and call, we can do whatever we want with it, we can create whatever we want, we don't even have to think about it. We give it a storyline idea, and you just heard what it does. It actually normally judges it, adversarially judges it, and then melds the two, the best of both. This is incredible, truly incredible. Here, I'll back it up just a little.
In each dimension, there's a normal judge that scores the video, an adversarial judge that actively looks for problems and tries to poke holes in the quality, and then a meta judge that synthesizes both perspectives. This jury style setup is inspired by actual legal decision processes, and it's designed to catch issues that a single judge would miss. Each dimension has its own detailed metrics.
One spoonful of honey with cinnamon.
Wow. Just amazing. All right, here we go back.
Things like visual fidelity, motion dynamics, temporal consistency, camera focus, and visual safety. For audio, it's audio quality, audio-video alignment, and audio safety. And for context, they're checking situational appropriateness, semantic coherence, text-video alignment, physical common sense, engagement, and video format, like whether the beginning and ending are smooth or if transitions feel natural.
This is really stunning. Stunning what this will do. All of those things you just heard mentioned, each one that was iterated, had to be done in the past by people or a single genius in a motion picture production, a video commercial production, whatever production. And now it's all done at the speed of light right now. All right, I'm going to run that again.
And video format, like whether the beginning and ending are smooth or if transitions feel natural. After all that critique, Vista uses something called a deep thinking prompting agent to actually rewrite the prompt. And it's not just a quick tweak. The agent essentially goes through six reasoning steps: identifying what's broken based on low scores, clarifying what the expected outcome should be, checking if the prompt has enough detail, figuring out if failures are due to model limits or bad prompting, detecting conflicts or vague language, and then proposing targeted modifications.
Wow. I have to go back. I want to hear this again. All of those individual things that are done automatically.
They're looking at things like visual fidelity, motion dynamics, temporal consistency, camera focus, and visual safety. For audio, it's audio quality, audio-video alignment, and audio safety. And for context, they're checking situational appropriateness, semantic coherence, text-video alignment, physical common sense, engagement, and video format, like whether the beginning and ending are smooth or if transitions feel natural.
Semantic coherence. Does it make sense? Could it make better sense? What we're talking about here is everything perfect. And for most people, casual observers who watch these, they're going to come away with a more satisfied feeling of perfection. They've just seen something really great. Same thing with music. Remember I talked about that maybe two episodes ago? How music composed by AI is more rewarding to the average listener than music composed by people. Wow. All right, here, just to drop more here.
After all that critique, Vista uses something called a deep thinking prompting agent to actually rewrite the prompt. And it's not just a quick tweak. The agent essentially goes through six reasoning steps: identifying what's broken based on low scores, clarifying what the expected outcome should be, checking if the prompt has enough detail, figuring out if failures are due to model limits or bad prompting, detecting conflicts or vague language, and then proposing targeted modifications.
That's perfection. Maybe not your perfection, but for most people, they're going to see this as perfect. And anything that's created by a regular old human is going to have, you heard all the different categories. Nobody is going to be able to create something that maximizes the potential of each of those different categories. Can't do it. You got a script writer, you've got a cinematographer, you've got an editor, you've got this, you've got that. This is truly amazing. And I think it's just a matter of maybe weeks before we start seeing new Errol Flynn movies, new Three Stooges, new Laurel and Hardy. That's all coming, and very soon. And if it's done right, it might be wonderful. How's that? I don't know. This is all really stretching the mind. Okay, hold on, and we will continue after this.